This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. On April 22nd, King County voters will be asked to vote on Proposition 1, a measure to support a King County transportation district with a $60 per year license fee and a 0.1% sales tax to help fund Metro bus service and county road safety and maintenance. How will the outcome of this election affect transportation and the communities in King County? Is this an effective way to address our transportation needs? To help answer these questions, I have as my guests April Putney, Campaign Manager for Move King County Now, and Statewide Policy and Advocacy Campaign Manager for FutureWise, and Andrew Austin, Policy Director for the Transportation Choices Coalition. Welcome to you both.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Thank you.
Why do we need Proposition 1? What led to Proposition 1 being put on the ballot for an April 22nd special election?
Proposition 1 is an emergency measure that our county council has unanimously placed on the ballot. It's on the ballot because, unfortunately, our transportation system's in crisis. That's probably not a surprise to those of us who are on the streets, walking around or in our cars or on the buses, where we see that it's already really crowded and sometimes buses are passing us by. Our transportation system, our buses and our roads are funded through taxes, the property tax and the sales tax, which are really volatile in the recession. And so the recession starting in 2008 really hit our funding really hard. So transit lost $1.2 billion of planned revenue and our roads lost a similar amount. And so it's really problematic. Thankfully, the county council stepped up and placed this emergency measure on the ballot. And it was really a last resort. First, they actually went through a lot of processes to reduce costs at Metro and with our roads. But we're at a place now where it's really up to us voters to decide what kind of transportation system we want to have.
What does Proposition 1 propose? Would you go into detail?
So as you mentioned, Proposition 1 is a tax increase. It is a $40 increase in our vehicle fees and unless you are a low-income car owner, if you make roughly $31,500 or less, it'll actually just be a $20 increase for you. And then there is a 1/10 of a sales tax increase. So basically, that's a penny increase for every $10 that we spend on purchases. And then it also includes a reduced fare for low-income bus riders. It'll reduce our bus fare for low-income bus riders to $1.25 for a couple of years. So really important measure to make sure our buses keep running, we can fix our streets, but at the same time, helping those that have the least. The tax itself sunsets in 10 years, can only be extended with another vote of the people.
How much will it cost for an average family per month?
It'll cost the average household $11 a month and significantly less than that for low-income households.
And I'll just add, too, that this is really a small investment for a lot of service in terms of fixing our roads and improving our bus service. And going back to how we got here, you know, there was a long process really pushing the state legislature to step up to fund comprehensive transportation over the last 5 years, which hasn't happened. And thankfully, we have some other options here in King County that neighboring communities to the north and south of us haven't taken advantage of or have. And they've already gone through these painful bus cuts, which have really hurt citizens all across the board.
How much money will the proposed license fee and sales tax generate?
Proposition 1 will generate $130 million a year, roughly, of which 60% of that is directly going to our bus system and making sure that we don't have to make these 17% bus cuts. And 40% of the revenue goes to our cities and the county to take care of the roads that we have.
If Proposition 1 doesn't pass, what will happen to bus service in King County?
If Proposition 1 doesn't pass, King County will begin to follow the path of community transit up in Snohomish County and Pierce Transit down in Pierce County, like Andrew was saying, and we'll have to make significant cuts. Starting this September, we'll have phased in bus cuts. In total, the county is looking at 17% bus cuts, which will completely eliminate 74 bus routes and reduce service or change service on 107 other bus routes. In total, this will affect 80% of all bus riders will either have to walk farther, wait longer to get on a bus that's more crowded, or some of us, there will be communities in the county that just no longer have bus service at all. And so seniors, students, working families, people with disabilities will be left stranded altogether.
And just to really underscore that issue, we've seen that as these bus cuts come in the neighboring communities and across the country, it really hurts transit riders and non-transit riders alike. So when you have a large portion of the population that no longer has the choice to take the bus, they have one or two options. One, if they're lucky enough to have access to a car or can afford to buy a car, they'll start driving, clogging up our already congested roads and really hurting freight movement and making our freeways more busy. Or they'll simply be stranded. And that's what we're seeing in a lot of places and a lot of times in our neighboring communities. And in Snohomish County, what they did was actually just end Sunday bus service. And in Pierce County, there's basically no bus service after 9:30 p.m., which isn't the King County plan, but it's the same type of pain. So if you're a senior citizen in Snohomish County who doesn't own a car, you can't go to church on Sunday and access your social community. And if you're a service worker in downtown Tacoma who can't afford a car, you can't have that job and you can't get home. So we're really trying to prevent that here in the biggest bus service and system in the state.
Would you like to say more about what's known about the impact of cuts and reductions in public transportation funding in other cities? And maybe talk about the 2012 National Research Council report and what they found.
That report really looked at a whole diversity of communities, small, medium, and large, that have gone through serious cuts. One of the ones they did look at as a case study was Pierce Transit in Tacoma. And basically, they found a few things. One, it hurts non-drivers, transit riders, and drivers alike, especially in these congested metropolitan areas. Secondly, they did a lot of really good work on the economic impact of how transit cuts really hurt economic growth and economic recovery, as a lot of these cuts they studied were coming through in the heart of the recession. And then lastly, there's this question that a lot of these bus campaigns have of, you know, do we want to be a community that's inclusive to everyone or excludes people from our community and from our network of things that we do to live fulfilling lives? And they found that especially in some of the more outlying communities like King County Metro serves in the eastern King County suburbs, people were simply just cut off, which had health impacts, had depression impacts, a whole range of things. And it really comes down to, what can I afford? And when folks can't afford their transit service or can't use their transit service and have to spend money to take cabs or buy a car, that's money that they would oftentimes much rather be spending on investing in the local economy, their housing, their kids, their family, their healthcare, whatever it might be.
Would you go into more detail about what happened to workers who were trying to get to a job when transit cuts took place?
The best story I have on this is personal, just working through these processes in Tacoma. And I remember so many times when we were going through the first round of cuts in Tacoma, and since then there's been a second, we would hear stories. A perfect one is there was a single mother who lived in Lakewood, worked, wasn't on any type of social assistance, took care of her two kids, and was a full-time barista at Starbucks. And she went from home to work. She had a bus that ran every 30 minutes. And because she had access to that bus, she could afford not to drive a car and use that money for her kids and her family. And after that first round of bus cuts, she actually testified saying, I'm going to lose my job and have to try to find another job because the bus route that takes me to and from work is going to be cut from every half hour to every hour and 30 minutes. And those are the types of cuts we're looking at some places in King County. So it's a very direct impact of, I can't get to work. I can't afford a car. What do I do? Go on welfare, basically. Try to find a new job if I can in this tough economy. And it's a really direct impact on people's lives. And we're still experiencing that all over the place where there's been service cuts. But again, in Tacoma, it's a great example where if you're a service worker who works in a hotel or a restaurant in downtown Tacoma, you can't get home after 9 o'clock. Well, guess who needs the buses most? People who work after 9 o'clock in our service industry.
Well, and I would just add, Andrew did a great job talking about impact to workers, and that Proposition 1 is really more than a transportation issue. It's a question of what kind of community do we want to live in? And, you know, we're working with a lot of students that are really impacted by these cuts. There's a student in particular who's working with us who goes to Highline Community College, and she was explaining to us why she's spending so much of her time volunteering to help make sure Proposition 1 passes. And she said that right now it takes her 2 or 3 hours each day to get to Highline Community College. And with these bus cuts, 2 out of 3 of the buses that she takes will be eliminated. And that's going to add additional hours to her travel each day. And she works and volunteers and is a student and is really struggling with, if these bus cuts go into effect, how can I continue to do all of these things? I can't afford to have a car. King County shouldn't be making me choose between being able to afford to go to college or choosing to have a way to get around.
And that's not to mention the community colleges and the employers, the businesses that want their students and employees to get to work, which is one of the reasons we have a lot of strong business and labor support on this campaign.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are April Putney, campaign manager for Move King County Now, and statewide policy and advocacy campaign manager for FutureWise, and Andrew Austin, policy director for the Transportation Choices Coalition. Our topic is Proposition 1, a measure to support a King County transportation district with a $60 per year license fee and a 0.1% sales tax to help fund Metro bus service and county road safety and maintenance. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Referring again to the 2012 National Research Council report, what was the effect on regional transit systems when local bus service was cut?
There's a large range of effects. One that they do touch on that I'll talk about specifically is that transit service is something that people expect and rely upon. And a lot of times in these campaigns and in these discussions, when we talk to especially transit riders and say, do you know that your service is potentially under threat to be cut? People are shocked. They can't believe it. It's like a basic service. How can you cut water, schools, and rip up our sidewalks? And the reality is, especially in the last 4 years across the country and the state, we've really had to fight to keep these buses on the road. And in a lot of cases, once that service starts deteriorating, people get more fed up with their transit system. And that really does extend to the regional systems and those local route service feeder lines. So it has definitely a direct impact. Again, going back to my hometown in Tacoma, I can get a bus home from Seattle at 12:30 to Tacoma. Anyone can. They're oftentimes full. When you get to Tacoma, there's no bus. So there's a planning disconnect that happens because of lack of resources, which is only going to further discourage ridership and discourage political support. And it's kind of a downward spiral once we start not being able to meet the demands of what riders want and need in terms of service, which would definitely happen if this doesn't pass.
What are some of the safety and security impacts if bus service is cut?
You know, I think that there are indeed safety and security impacts. We've talked to folks across the county. I'm thinking of a woman in the Central District in particular who is saying that she is really concerned about being able to get home safely after work if there isn't bus service anymore. You know, the bus that she relies on would be cut so that it ends at, I think, 10 o'clock instead of midnight like it ends currently, and not knowing how she's going to get home. There's also some bartenders that we've been working with who are really concerned. One of the impacts of these bus cuts is that there's less late night service. And Andrew talked about how that's really critical for workers. It's obviously also critical for folks that have been going out or want to go out and have a drink and have a safe way to get home. And so there's bartenders that are working with us because they're really concerned about the impact to drunk driving and making sure that their customers have a safe way to get home as well.
I'll just quickly add that all of our transit agencies have their own budgets for police staff too. And that's something that there's no holy grail when you're talking about service cuts across the board. And when you're trying to decide between security and police officers on your transit and service on the road, that's a really tough decision. And then lastly, on the bus itself, buses are a very safe place statistically, but we've seen an increase of driver assaults across the country, which is a big problem for obviously the drivers, but all the riders on the bus. And as you cut service, people get more frustrated. They miss connections. They're late to work. And it creates a stronger tension and anger on the bus, which can impact actual real safety riding the buses around as service deteriorates.
Looking at King County as a whole, what areas are going to be affected the most by the bus cuts?
When we're talking about cutting up to 17% of our service, there's really no part of the county that gets left whole. There are entire communities that will be really sort of almost cut off entirely. I think I saw something about how North Bend and Sammamish area will have less service now than they did in the 80s if these cuts have to go into effect. So the east side gets hit pretty hard, South King County as well. In terms of Seattle, some of the neighborhoods that probably get hit the hardest are West Seattle, South Lake Union, Ballard, and North Seattle. There will be areas of our community that just no longer have bus service at all.
And it's hard to underscore how massive these cuts will be in terms of service reduced from being on the street. When you look at cuts previously, King County Metro is a much, much bigger system than any other transit system in terms of ridership across the state. And it'd be like eliminating a whole transit service in another community, neighboring community, because it's so much service on the roads, but it's so important because people rely on it here.
And to try to help visualize, the cuts that we're looking at are the equivalent of shutting down multiple lanes on I-90 and I-5. So King County Metro carries 400,000 riders each day, and these cuts are going to impact 80% of those people.
You alluded to this a bit earlier, but which groups of people are going to be affected the most if these cuts go into effect?
You know, that's a hard one to answer because I think really everybody that lives in the county or travels through King County is going to be impacted by this. In terms of the bus cuts themselves, the areas of the county that I mentioned just previously will in fact leave some seniors, students, working families, and people with disabilities stranded. Not everybody can walk farther to get to a bus stop. Not everybody can stand up on a 25-minute bus ride the entire time. So those are some of the communities that will be impacted the most. I think that's one of the reasons that we're seeing such a broad coalition supporting Proposition 1. We've got the Greater Seattle chapter of the National Federation of the Blind is supporting this, and they've come out strongly in favor of this and have been really upfront in saying that they don't usually get involved in political issues, but that because they are all about making sure that visually impaired people have equal opportunity, they need to make sure that they actually continue to have equal mobility options. And so I think because of the huge impacts on various communities is one of the reasons that so many different people are coming out in support of Proposition 1.
And I think it's important to underscore that a lot of people ride the bus, but this measure is going to impact everyone if it doesn't pass. Because if you're a driver, congestion's going to get worse. If your kid or mom rides the bus to get around, they're going to be impacted. If you're a farmer in Eastern Washington who's trying to get their apples to the port, the traffic is going to be worse for those trucks. So it's going to really hit everybody, regardless of if you are a transit rider or not.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are April Putney, Campaign Manager for Move King County Now and Statewide Policy and Advocacy Campaign Manager for FutureWise, and Andrew Austin, Policy Director for the Transportation Choices Coalition. Our topic is Proposition 1. A measure to support a King County transportation district with a $60 per year license fee and a 0.1% sales tax to help fund Metro bus service and county road safety and maintenance. Well, we've been talking about the bus service, but the proposal also has funding for road safety and maintenance. What is the current status of road maintenance and safety in King County?
Our cities and county roads are certainly in a place where we have a huge safety and maintenance backlog. Combined, the cities have over a $1 billion maintenance backlog for the next couple of years. Our county roads have seen significantly less funding because of the way that we fund our roads system here. Thankfully, we haven't had any major snowstorms this year, but if we did, fewer areas would be plowed in the county. There's less repaving happening. And all of that means if we don't act now to fix our roads, we will actually end up having to replace them and replace bridges and things like that. And that's significantly more expensive. For every $1 we spend now to repair a road, it saves us $6 to $14 later to replace them.
Well, you addressed this a bit earlier, but what would you say to those who are concerned that the sales tax and license fee increases are regressive and will hurt low-income citizens?
You know, that is a concern we're hearing a lot, and I think a lot of people are understanding that the absolute most regressive thing that we can do is cut our bus service and cut off people from mobility options altogether. The county council really stepped up to make sure that this measure was as strong as possible within their current authority, and so they added a $20 rebate for low-income car owners to make sure that they are paying less than other car owners. And then they also are using some of the funds to temporarily buy down this new reduced fare for low-income bus riders to $1.25.
What groups are supporting Proposition 1?
You know, it's almost to the point where if you can name a group in King County, chances are they're supporting this measure. Leaders of the campaign are the Downtown Seattle Association, Transportation Choices Coalition, and the King County Labor Council. We've had really strong support from groups like One America, Asian Counseling and Referral Services, FutureWise, Sierra Club, lots of different organizations representing working families, Senior Services, Seattle Human Service Coalition. Clearly, I can go on.
I think we're really lucky that the vast majority of organizations that work with whatever constituencies are their members here in Seattle and across King County just know and understand the value of our bus service and know and understand how painful this would be if this doesn't pass, which has helped us get all the support and, of course, a lot of running around and letting them know what's going on, too, which April has been doing quite a bit.
One of the big groups that I forgot to mention, we have strong support from mayors from across the county, both because they are interested in making sure that they have funding to address their road needs, but because they understand that cutting 17% of our bus service is just going to really devastate our county.
What are the chances of Proposition 1 passing?
We're very hopeful and think it has a very good shot at passing, and that's why we're working really hard in the next few weeks to make sure mostly that people know that this is going on and how important it is they cast their vote in this relatively obscure election.
Yeah, absolutely right. We've never had a countywide special election in April. So one of the biggest hurdles we have right now is making sure people know that Proposition 1 exists, that we need to mail our ballots in by April 22nd, Earth Day, and just what's at stake. We're really looking at what kind of community we want to have.
How does support in Seattle compare with other parts of the county?
We have strong support in all parts of the county. I was down in Federal Way. The city council adopted a resolution in support of Proposition 1. So, yeah, we're finding strong support across the county.
And I think it really points to that this isn't a Democratic or a Republican issue. This is a people's issue because it touches everyone. And that's one of the reasons we're getting a lot of bipartisan support in terms of elected officials endorsing the campaign.
Yeah, it's not a Republican or a Democrat issue. And it's not a small city or a rural town and a big city issue. Obviously, if people can't get around King County, that is going to impact you no matter where you live, unless you never step outside of your house.
If Proposition 1 passes, who will have oversight of the revenue generated? Who is in charge of the transportation district?
So the county council sort of wears a different hat, but they are the folks in charge of the transportation benefit district. They'll work to make sure that the money is split up so that 40% of the revenue is divided to the cities and the county, and that's divided on a per capita basis. So the larger cities get more money, and then they make sure that King County Metro uses the money to make sure we don't have to cut bus service.
Originally, it was hoped that a motor vehicle excise tax could be used to fund Metro, but the legislature failed to pass a package that allowed that. So what if the Washington State legislature finally passes a transportation package and offers this option?
We would love for that to happen. As Andrew mentioned, we've been working for the last 5 to 6 years to get the state legislature to pass a comprehensive package that included giving King County the motor vehicle excise tax again, because that's a more stable funding source for us. The county council put a good measure in Proposition 1 to give them the authority to send an MVET out to the voters to swap it if the legislature does, in fact, in the next 10 years, pass a package that gives us that authority.
Will the tax and fee proposed in Proposition 1 become unnecessary if the economy improves?
I think one important piece to highlight is that all this does is stop bus cuts and stop drastic cuts to bus service. So it does have a sunset. It is something that the county council and all the folks will continue to look at. But what we're seeing in King County and across the country is transit ridership is soaring. The demand and need for more service to just meet what people want is out there. And this will give King County Metro some tools to do that. But it will be an ongoing evaluation of what is needed. But we really think, especially to stop service cuts, this is the only way to do it.
That's exactly right, Andrew. And here in King County, we should be adding 15% of our bus service just to meet our current demand. And unfortunately, we're looking at cutting 17%. And so even if the economy fully rebounds and there's more revenue possible, the money is just focused on stopping these bus cuts. And maybe there would be a little bit of money to start adding some service in some of the key ridership areas.
What are the best long-term options for funding of transportation?
I think there's no perfect tax is the short answer to the question, but we do need to continue to work with the state legislature to find stable, balanced, non-regressive forms of revenue for public transit and for our entire transportation system. So I think that the MVET, which was discussed a lot in years past, is one we'll continue to look at. There's a whole suite of non-regressive tax options out there to really fund our system and invest in it long term. But we need to work with the legislature to figure out what the right mix is and really make the case of why we need to keep our transportation system updated and in the 21st century and not let our bridges crumble and our buses go with them, basically.
And for Metro funding, why not just raise fares more?
Metro has one of the highest fare box recovery ratios or percentages for any bus service in the country. It's at or above 30%. Fare box recovery in the transit world is basically the percentage of the operating budget that's covered by fares. And no system is ever fully paid for by the people who use it. Our freeways are mostly still free, as we call them here on the West Coast. And I would say oftentimes their fare box recovery is closer to 10 or 0%. So we're never going to be able to cover the cost of the important public service of public transit with the fare box. And when we raise the fares, it oftentimes is the most regressive thing we can do because it's taxing the people who need the bus service the most and applies to everyone regardless of your income level. So it's a short-term solution, and we just simply couldn't make up the holes that we're facing in King County Metro's budget with fares.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
That it's absolutely critical that you are registered to vote at your current address and that you need to register to vote by March 24th to be able to participate in this election. April 22nd is 34 days away. So make sure that you are talking to as many of your friends and neighbors and colleagues as possible. We absolutely can't let 17% bus cuts happen here. We can't continue to let our roads deteriorate. And we need to vote yes on Proposition 1.
Couldn't agree more.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are just listening to April Putney, campaign manager for Move King County Now and statewide policy and advocacy campaign manager for FutureWise, and Andrew Austin, policy director for the Transportation Choices Coalition. For more information, check on the web at movekingcountynow.org. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening. And be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.